Good afternoon. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jeff Brown, also from the Biz Foundry, today. Jeff is the president and co-founder of the Biz Foundry. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Tiff. How are you?
I'm good.
I hardly ever talk to you.
I know. This is, Jeff is my boss, for those who are listening. I know the stories he's going to tell, but I want everybody else to know these stories. So first of all, let's kind of start off with, what is the Biz Foundry? So many people, especially a couple of years ago when I started working, said, I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is or what they do. So what is the Biz Foundry?
So we're an entrepreneur center. So everybody chooses, you know, are we an incubator? Are we an accelerator? We don't care. We're an entrepreneur center. How do we help entrepreneurs when they need it, where they need it? And so that involves a lot of different things, but kind of our mission is, how do we grow this entrepreneurial ecosystem in a rural area that's probably not been touted for its entrepreneurship, but yet it's so vital to growth and cool communities and all the cool things you want to happen? So how do we help entrepreneurs? And so we kind of think that our board is all entrepreneurs, and we think kind of your basketball coach should have played a little basketball, kind of our theory of entrepreneurship. And so how do we help these people who have an idea? How do we help them make that become a real business? Or they've got a business up and going, how do we help them grow that business? Because entrepreneurship is such a vital part of economic development and growing communities, which not necessarily addressed in, shall we say, rural, very conservative areas. And so, you know, all the cool kids are in the big cities of Nashville, Chattanooga. And so we are the most rural of 6 of Tennessee's entrepreneur centers. And so how do we do that on a daily basis? How do we really help people start and grow companies?
And what do you think, what is the key factor in that? How does the Biz Foundry help people start and grow their businesses?
It's a combination of a lot of things. So I tell people, as you know, Tiffany, that we'll let you know when we figure out what we're doing. we address it like we're a startup every day. So what could we do better? What do we need to change? What needs to happen? And so there's kind of this combination of things of kind of the education piece. And I don't know that I like that word. I think sometimes that scares people off, but kind of, how do we show you what it's like to be an entrepreneur and teach you to be an entrepreneur? Because you don't learn it in school. And typically you learn entrepreneurship by going and starting a company. It's kind of like learning to play golf. You got to go start hitting balls and take lessons, and nobody picks up a golf club and is really good at it the very first time. So, you know, how do we get experienced people that can tell you? A lot of what our mentorship winds up being is telling you where to look for potholes. We may not know all the answers, but a lot of the times we can tell you what not to do, because between our group of mentors, we have probably close to 500 years of experience of making stupid mistakes. So we can tell you those things. You know, we may not know what to do, but we can certainly tell you what not to do. And then kind of our theory of entrepreneurship is we can't, this is not a checklist business, but we get you to think through things and think about, what is it really like to build a business? What do you really need to be doing, and that you're focusing on the right things?
So clearly you feel very, very passionate about entrepreneurship. You can just tell that you see the impact of entrepreneurship in this area. So what, and I know you know, in your past working career, you've done some entrepreneurship yourself. What, as a kid, so growing up, what did you think you were going to do for life? Did you think you were going to?
Oh, pro football, no question.
You were going to be a pro football player.
Yeah, when I was a kid, absolutely. Somewhere between farmer, fireman, and pro football player, I'm sure.
All the you know, quintessential little boy ideas.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, and you were born where? Grew up where?
Crossville.
So this area relatively, but not Cookeville per se. And what, when you realized you weren't going to be a football player, a firefighter, a police officer, what career path did you decide to go down?
So I remember when I was applying to colleges. So it was everything. I drove my mother crazy. Because it was right down to probably August of the year after I graduated high school. It was, hey, I'm going to join the Air Force, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And then wound up, was accepted at UT and Tennessee Tech, and wound up going to Tennessee Tech. and majored in geology. I think I started at the time as a general major. I had no major, but geology had always appealed to me. And a friend of my father's had worked in Saudi Arabia, and he was an engineer and loved working with geologists. And I didn't want to sit behind a desk all day. And so being outside, geology seemed very appealing to me.
As a kid, do you think, were you the kid that's playing in dirt and playing with rocks and kind of all the time?
Absolutely.
Muddy feet all the time.
Muddy feet. Always kind of very curious. I had an uncle who was a football player at Tech, and his second probably quarter at that time, I was probably 10 years old. You couldn't have a motorcycle in Tech campus at that time. So at my grandparents' house, I took his motorcycle apart while he was at college. So was always very curious. And how does this work? How do I learn how to do that?
So it seems like you just had a lot of different, which as I know you, you have a lot of stuff going on all the time, no matter what. And that's kind of something that's always been the case, because I mean, I'm guessing geology, no one who's going to take apart a motorcycle, does somebody say, yeah, that kid should be a geologist?
Yeah. So I think just curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 57 and I'm still the kid in the back seat going, why? Why do we do it this way? Why can't we change that? Why can't we do better?
Were you the kid that wanted to have a lemonade stand or sell things on the playground at all? Did you want to think you'd start your own business?
You know, I don't think so. I do remember I almost got kicked out of sixth grade for selling sugar daddies out of my locker, myself and a friend of mine. So that was probably my first entrepreneurial venture. But, you know, we just figured out a way to make money. We didn't even know we were being entrepreneurs.
What were you using that money for? Do you remember what you were?
Who knows? Just, 11 years old, I don't have a clue.
To buy more candy to sell.
Probably. I don't remember.
We're going to hear more about the journey that Jeff's taken. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton, and we have Jeff Brown, president of the Biz Foundry. And so you decided to start in geology. Geology does not seem like a director of an entrepreneur center. Did you start a geology business at one point, or what?
I did not. I actually worked. The oil business was booming in Tennessee while I was in college, so I worked, after 1 year of geology, I worked for an oil company that summer and then started with another one and worked the whole time I was in college. But kind of looking back, my dad asked me a question, is that, you know, what do you do if you get promoted as a geologist? And of course, I'm 19 years old and I'm like, I don't know, Dad, you know,
make more money.
I'm here to drink beer and chase girls. That's what college is all about. And, he's like, no, what do you really do if you get promoted? And his point was that you're now, you need a little business education, because now you're going to have people working under you. You're going to have to understand budgets. You're going to have to know how to manage money. So I think I was the first geology grad at Tennessee Tech that minored in business and finance. Mm. So that was strange. Everybody looked at me really weird as a geology major wearing flannel shirts and blue jeans. Setting in accounting classes.
But did you feel like those kind of really filled your passions as well? Because you kind of, you like this geology, but you like the business aspect. And
so I don't think I realized it at the time, but I had always been around entrepreneurs. I worked for a paint store while I was in high school and college that they started. Grew up a lot around the construction business and all those kind of things. So I was kind of surrounded by those guys that were at least in their own business in some form. But I was fascinated by accounting. I made straight A's because not that I ever wanted to do accounting, but it was perfectly logical, just like classification in science. It was just perfectly logical to me. So I was pretty good at math and that seemed pretty easy. And, so I did very well in that. Not that I ever, by any stretch of the imagination, thought that's what I would be doing 30 years later. But
so what did you graduated, and what was the first business venture that you went into for yourself?
So probably, I think I was 27 or so. I resigned my first job from the large corporation from a phone booth. This was pre-cell phones. So I resigned my job, and because I hated working for the big company, just did not care for it. It did not fit my personality, didn't really like what I was doing. And then, of course, as I hung up the phone after resigning, I realized maybe I should call and tell my wife I just resigned. Probably should have called her first, looking back. But anyway, But I had never really looked for a job. I had several people wanting me to come to work for them, one being an entrepreneur in Knoxville. So I called him, and I'll never forget the conversation. We didn't talk money. We didn't talk anything. He's like, when can you start? And I said, 2 weeks from Monday. And he said, be here at 7 o'clock, and hung up.
And where were you still living in Cookeville?
I was in Knoxville.
Oh, you were already in Knoxville. So you didn't have to pick up the family and move them over there.
Okay. I was already in Knoxville. So I basically ran his entrepreneurial operation for a couple of years.
And what kind of business was that?
And so it was a very large paint and decorating store. So, again, I had grown up in the construction business, knew a lot about that business. Grew it very quickly, did very well. And then, like most people who leave their small town and travel the world, then when you start having babies, your small hometown looks really good because there's this thing called free babysitter of mom.
are a good thing.
You know, there weren't a ton of jobs in Crossville for me to do at that time in geology. I never really worked in geology after I graduated because 4 days after I graduated, oil prices dropped by 45%. So I had 17 job offers before I graduated and 17 job offers rescinded 10 days after I graduated because they all were laying off geologists now, hand over fist. So that just prompted me to do something different.
We're going to get back into that in the Biz Foundry in just a second. Stay tuned to hear more about how Jeff kind of came across the Biz Foundry and how he's grown it to where it is today.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. This is Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Jeff Brown, the president of the Biz Foundry, and he was just kind of discussing about how he wanted to know what the communities were doing for entrepreneurship, and he kind of had this passion, and you really felt like it wasn't about the money, it's about kind of doing the better good for the area, correct?
Oh, well, it was always about the money, too. But, yeah, as you get a little older, that doesn't matter as much. So, you know, I always laugh about when I talk about my journey like this is that my journey is not much different from anybody else's. I don't really know anybody that graduated from college, worked in the field they majored in for 30 years and retired. It's just not the way the world works. And so, you know, my journey of getting here was a lot of things, a lot of frustration as an entrepreneur. I had a lot of friends that were also entrepreneurs. So we hung out together, played golf together. Our families did things together. So it was amazing how we became this little group of people that we all owned our own business.
So once you were in the county commission seat and you kind of thought this area is not doing enough for entrepreneurship, and you came across this nonprofit that was affiliated with Roan State, correct?
Well, when Launch Tennessee started the 9 entrepreneur centers across the state under Governor Haslam, Roan State Community College got the grant. It's really more of a work contract. It's not a grant, but to do the entrepreneur center, then called Accelerator, for the Upper Cumberland. So it was based out of Crossville, and a friend of mine called and said, I want you to run this thing. And I kind of hung up on him. You know, I'm like, I don't want to work a government job. I don't want to do any of those things, all the things that we had cursed. And so the second time I kind of hung up on him. And the third time he's like, well, I know you eat lunch. I've seen you. And so would you go have lunch with this guy? So that led to a contract to kind of help them get started and run it. Was not a great relationship with entrepreneurship in a community college. And not that they're bad. It's just that their rules and their financial controls and those things.
There's a lot more red tape in a university than
entrepreneurs are used to dealing with.
Than entrepreneurs can really have. You need a lot more freedom.
They got to have freedom and flexibility. So kind of the end result of that first year was Launch Tennessee was really happy with the work we have done. Roan State didn't really like managing the grant.
What year was this?
This was probably 2012-ish. So myself and one of my best friends had lunch and decided we would start a nonprofit and take over the Entrepreneur Center.
So
that's what we did.
Two dudes have to convince this government state entity that, hey, we want to take over this funding that you have granted for a community college, and you should totally trust in us.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
we had been working with them for over a year. So yeah. They really liked what we were doing and our theory of this nonprofit and that it would be run by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. And so they totally bought into the concept. And actually, that was by far the easiest part was getting the contract because they were thrilled for us to take it over. And then we moved it to Cookeville. Cookeville being kind of the epicenter of the Upper Cumberlands and, of course, a lot of, you know, innovation and technology coming out of the university, so it needed to be based out of Cookeville. So that was our very first move. And so I think we opened over on West 7th Street. I think our official grand opening was sometime in July of 2013.
So July 2013, you are in that old dialysis building across from the STEM Center.
Dead squirrels and all.
Yeah. So, it was a medical office building, and you didn't have a ton of funding to do much with it. So you had a co-working space and some offices, and you kind of started running some programs out of there. You had a support. You built a board. And so tell me what it was like those first couple of years. I was not around then. So those first couple of years in that first West 7th building.
So it was just really, you know, building relationships, getting known, finding others who agreed with entrepreneurship is important.
Did you have a bigger pull with tech at that time? Because I think people thought that the Biz Foundry was part of tech with its location.
Oh, absolutely. Most people thought we were part of Tennessee Tech.
There was
a
lot more students working out of the location a little bit. That was a good place to park.
It was a great place. We let students park for free, so we were very popular. But, yeah, it was a place to be. And you know, one of the things that the hospital, the Cumberland Regional Medical, gave us the use of that building for 5 years for free. So that was tremendous. And that's why we didn't spend much money fixing it up, because that allowed us to spend that money helping entrepreneurs instead of on a building, because that didn't make a lot of sense to us. And so, you know, entrepreneurs can work just as good in an old, you know, dialysis center as they can in a cool space on Cedar. So we really focused on that to begin with. We did it very much on a shoestring budget. And, you know,
and you were really able to lay the proper groundwork.
Right.
And really get, okay, these are the programs we're doing. We're going to start this one program to, you know, a little more intensive program to help entrepreneurs. We like some parts of it. We don't like some parts of it. Tweak the things. You really were able to focus on the helping aspect instead of just growing outward and
do our experimentation, just like we teach entrepreneurs, take this out to your customers and see what they do with it, how they use it. So we've thrown a lot of spaghetti at the wall and a lot of it didn't stick. And as you guys know, I'm willing to change any program we're doing today on a moment's notice. If you give
a
me
little a, too much sometimes.
A little too, I drive you guys crazy. So I understand that. But that's kind of what we should be doing is let's don't keep doing things that don't work. And so we do a lot of experimentation. You know that. And so our first 2 or 3 years were really just, you know, what can we get interested in? What do we need to be doing? Where are the entrepreneurs? These people are hard to market to, right? Because they're in their basement, their workshop, on their living room.
And they're
room
so couch, protective of their
working
ideas.
Working away, right. Yeah. They're protecting their idea and they're working 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been a really tough thing. Really all of Launch Tennessee centers is how do we find these people that are in their rabbit hole working? You know, how do we let them even know we exist? So a lot of time still spent on that. But really that first 2 or 3 years of experimentation. Let's try this program and see what works, and what do we get out of it? What kind of feedback do we get? You know, how many people attended, all those kind of things. So,
in case you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton, and we have Jeff Brown, president of the Biz Foundry, here today. I really think a huge turning point for the Biz Foundry was the move to the new location. And so you decided that it was time, you had done your experimentation, and it was time to have a space that was ours and that wasn't, we weren't just a visitor in, correct?
Right.
And so you went hunting, you took your real estate, dusted off your real estate boots and started looking for a space for us to find a home. And you found an old salon on Cedar Street, just down the street from where you were at, essentially. And what made you decide that was the right location, that you needed to gut it out and make it what we've made it?
Well, I mean, you know, we've visited the cool co-work spaces and all the cool buildings all over the southeast of entrepreneur centers and co-work spaces and all those. So actually the true story of, yes, did I use all my real estate experience looking? I actually found that location while I was getting my hair cut across the street. And so I'd driven by 100 times. And so Michael at Gentleman's Barber's like, you know, that building's empty. And I'm like, what? And so literally I went over there and got the address and started calling people.
If I know you, you probably checked all the doors first to see if you could get in yourself.
I could not break in.
Looked in the windows.
And it turned out that the owner of that building, my daughter was in their grandson's wedding. And so there was a connection. So, you know, but I'll never forget, you know, Michael can tell you, I'm sitting there going, what? That's empty? How did I not know that? And so that's kind of how it started. But, you know, really, I was telling the people in Carthage this morning that it's so funny, even since we've been there, that, you know, the west side of Cookeville has become kind of the it place. And it seems to be where, you know, just huge activity there and you know, the amount of traffic there now. So the timing, I mean, we were very deliberate. We knew that's what we wanted to do when we started, but we couldn't afford it when we started. And we also thought maybe we need to prove to the community we know what the heck we're doing before we go start doing something like that. So at that 4 years in, we're like, okay, you know, now we're working with a lot of people. We're, you know, we're providing things. We're helping companies start. We're helping businesses grow. We are kind of getting to where we know what we're doing. So
what
now
do you
we're
think,
not such an experiment. So.
What do you think it is that has been that people think we're not an experiment, that people have some validity in the Biz Foundry and know that there's value here?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. I mean, you know, part of the work you've done and the whole team's done and just I think part of it's just time a little bit and, of course, tons of meetings and coffee and Rotary Chicken and just all those kind of things that it takes to do a movement, right? Kind of a grassroots movement. But I think part of it is just it takes that long. And then part of it is, you know, we had some partners that really got a lot of focus on us. We had a lot of people that really supported us. We had some board members and, you know, some local businesses that really supported us.
Well, and one of the ideas that you had when I first started working about 2.5 years ago, you said, we're going to do a magazine. None of the other entrepreneur centers have done a magazine.
No.
This was just a random idea that you thought would be great.
Which I had been working on for 2 years and had no idea absolutely how to do a magazine,
so
but I knew I wanted one.
You right? said, so. We want this, and we kind of put the team together. And what do you say to people who thought, what in the world are you doing a magazine for?
We needed to, one of the things our area suffers for is this idea of the culture of entrepreneurship. And we don't think entrepreneurship, we think big companies. And so I speak 100 times a year and I always ask the crowd, name 3 entrepreneurs. And I always get the Steve Jobs, you know, all Elon Musk, all those. Hardly ever does the crowd name 3 local entrepreneurs, yet they are everywhere. And then I ask what company started with a local entrepreneur, and I see people struggle. Well, the answer to that is they all did. There's no other way that a company starts. So the magazine was, how could we tell the story of you can be successful in this region as an entrepreneur? And so that's why the Start Here, which is a name I really liked, and that it can be done, and let's tell the story, some good, some bad, and some ugly.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we could talk for another hour here, and maybe you'll have to be a guest later on, and we talk about the future. But thank you for joining us, Jeff, and thanks for listening.